You can't have a Tiger Girl come on your fucking BS and beer podcast with bourbon and shit.
Bourbon and beer.
Scott was going to get a gymnast. Dude, I was excited. I was really excited.
Me too, right?
Scott was going to get a gymnast. I was like, this is the greatest. Can I be on the show? And then, like, you know, they have rules. They have fucking shitty rules, and they keep people like us from fucking interviewing gymnasts on our podcast.
What's up, Houdette Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Don't Patrol podcast, on the Don't Patrol United podcast network. This is an actual Don't Patrol show. We have not had a show since the schedule release because there just isn't any news. I mean, there's the Saints have about $350 to spend. They're not gonna sign the Loch Ness Monster, but you know, we haven't even signed any of the rookies yet, and I guess they're having the rookie OTAs. There's no media there, so there's no stories. There's really nothing coming out, so it's just, yeah, how are we going to spend the time talking about it? And, you know, like I've mentioned the past few years, it's kind of nice to just not think Saints, because once mid-July and later hits, it's Saints for 5 months. So it's kind of nice. We decided to hop on. Gunn was a little high, so he wanted to hop on. So we're like, hey, sure, why not? It's
shows
been so
an emergency reaction to Juwan Johnson possibly moving to tight end.
That's big where we
news.
Are.
It's big news.
Breaking news, guys.
I mean, hey, that could really bolster the tight end position group on this team. So that voice you heard joining us tonight is Wesley from the Bourbon and Beer podcast. Wesley, how you doing? Are you BS and beer shit bourbon? You know what? Because you said you were drinking bourbon tonight. So it's probably not a good idea to let a guy host who's been drinking a little bit. Sorry.
We wouldn't have a host.
Right.
Ever.
I don't drink. So.
Right. Gunn's done pretty well hosting the taking the over. But sorry, the BS and beer show. Wesley, how you doing? I see you're drinking some bourbon. What kind of bourbon are you drinking, and what kind of number you got?
This is a Whistle Pig Piggyback. It's their 6-year rye. I'm getting going. It's a two. We got a late tip on a basketball game, so I'm easing into it.
All right, late tip. Mavericks.
Yeah. See if they can survive.
It seems like it's crazy. They went up 2-0, and everybody's like, oh, here comes Dallas. And then, I mean, Luka's a little dinged up, though, too, right?
Yeah, they've got some shoulder and issues going on with him, something bothering him in his neck where he can't feel his left arm. But you know, he's right-handed, so really, does that matter?
Right.
At least he's playing. There's some basketball players out there with little dinged up injuries that aren't even taking the court.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot of experience with that. And and then finally joining us tonight, Billy Gunn from Taking the Over. Gunn, how you doing? You were initially started inside, and then
yeah, I made it outside. Good, glad to be on the Don't Patrol podcast. It's been a while since the schedule release. Scott and I have been holding down the fort, you know, on the network with Tigers Den and Taking the Overs. But man, I'm excited to talk all this Saints news. Somebody made the comment the other day after the Panthers released Tommy Stevens. They were like, oh, we can go sign Tommy Stevens. I'm like, we can't afford Tommy Stevens, dude. We can't afford Tommy Stevens, you know.
He can't even afford Tommy Stevens.
We can't afford Tommy Stevens right now. I'm doing good though, man. Outside of all that, Saints can't afford Tommy Stevens. But you know, I've relocated over here, the new Podcastle in Mandeville, and I'm just riding around with all the other Mandeville Orients, you know.
So all right. So we'll get this started. With what little Saints news we might have. Now that we're beyond June 1st. We did get some cap relief from Drew Brees, although apparently we didn't officially put him on the retired/injured list yet. But we did save a little cash, so now we've got about $380,000 to play with. So if this was the 1993 salary cap, I'd be like, oh shit, we could sign a lot. But we haven't even signed any of our draft picks yet. It's wild.
They'll be able to do that. I think that's almost taken into account, right? I mean, there's no they almost partition part of the cap for and it's slotted for your picks.
It is.
Wesley, you're the expert.
The 386,000 is it's the top 51 players. So when you sign somebody, it's really only the difference between their salary and the 51st person. So you can sign, I mean, somebody, if our 51st person is making 675, if you sign somebody for 700, it only makes the cap go down 25 grand because it's only the top 51 salaries that count. So there's 386,000, but you could sign somebody for 700 grand tomorrow and fit them under the cap. Okay. So I think we could sign some fourth and fifth round draft picks, but we could not sign the first or second right now.
So you're saying we could still trade?
Deshaun Watson sounds like he's out of the question at this point, right? There'll be no Deshaun Watson this year. We're not going to get Russell Wilson.
We're not going to get Aaron Rodgers either.
No, he's going to Denver, right? That's what everybody says, he's going to Denver. The media tries to choose places for your fucking people to go. And as Pelicans fans, we know all too well the sting of that. Like, the media tries to fucking, oh, we want to make it a thing for so-and-so to go to New York. We want to make it a thing for Aaron Rodgers to go to Denver. I don't like that.
Well, it's especially in the NBA, it's awful because all these NBA shows, they promote it. So fans are like, well, that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, they're already fucking with us about Zion. He hasn't even played a full 82 games yet.
Right.
And they're already, you know, running major features on, oh, where could he go?
Yeah, it's not healthy for the league overall. And yet the league just, I mean, I guess it's a broadcast partner. It's not like they can say, hey, don't talk about that. But it gets pretty frustrating. But I mean, back to the Saints. So, yeah, I think somebody mentioned basically like $2.5 million slotted for the draft picks. So we haven't signed them yet. I think there's OTAs going on, but there's no media access. So there's no reports coming out.
We don't know who's there, who's not there.
Right. And even if it's just workouts, there's no news coming out to even think about or talk about. So that makes it, again, you know, even harder. And then you still got some of the COVID rules that they're still going to put in place. And look, after that guy in Denver hurt himself working out, not at the team facility, and they just cut his ass like that. He was due $10 million, just like, nope, you weren't working out at our facility. We can cut you. We're cutting you. And it's brutal business. But so I do wonder if that situation led to more guys coming in. Because a lot of guys, and remember, I think the Saints announced it and other teams announced, hey, yeah, we want to stick to the whole, yeah, we'll not practice as much. We'll work out on our own and do whatever. But after that happened, I wonder if that changed a lot of guys' minds. But there's no signings. There was something that came out about Juwan Johnson probably making a switch to tight end. I mean, that's kind of our leads. That's our only story tonight. Juwan fucking Johnson is our story.
I like tight end project stories.
And look, this is a position on the roster that there's still a lot of questions. I mean, we've got Troutman who we like. But coming into a second year, there's still a lot of unknowns. We signed the veteran from Denver. And other than a bunch of other young dudes, like, that's it. So it probably is better for Johnson to make the switch because it's an easier path for him to make the roster, too.
For sure.
I mean, can you guys think of any areas that we have, in assuming all the draft picks get signed and come into camp and a couple of, you know, unrestricted free agents and whatnot? Are there any positions where we physically, numerically do not have enough bodies to, like, you know, be viable?
I would say cornerback.
Yeah. I mean, I consider Ken Crawley a dead body. So
right.
I'm not going to say there's enough starter quality bodies there. And especially if you're factoring that, I don't think Lattimore is going to get suspended for games. I think this is going to all work out with legalities, and his lawyer is going to get everything pleaded down. It's going to end up being nothing. But he could miss a game or two, and then you really do not have cornerbacks for. I mean,
even if his lawyers work magic and he doesn't get actually, you know, stuff like that, like the NFL with their whole conduct policy, like I still figured probably two games for Lattimore.
I couldn't see him getting more than two games.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's. Yeah. Especially
knowing that the history of the NFL wanting to fuck us, they'll give him four games. When, like, two is at the top end of what's decent. They'll go, nah, fuck it. We're giving him four.
Never mind. You convinced me. He's getting suspended six games.
Well, they'll
right. It's the sense. Right.
They'll suspend him four. He'll appeal down to three.
Can we start the rumor that Juwan Johnson's moving from wide receiver to tight end because the Saints have a deal in place for Julio Jones and they need a spot there at wide receiver? Is that a rumor that can be started today?
Julio Jones has done nothing but benefit the Saints.
I mean,
he would actually work. But it definitely does. So I guess we've covered our Saints. But it does seem like he's definitely going to be traded, though.
Got to. I mean, clearly the thing on TV with the phone call was all set up. And if there was any louder than his declaration of "I'm not going back there," that was a very clear "fuck you guys, I'm not going back there." I mean,
yeah, that's wild. So. And then you look at it too, it's like they had a chance to take a quarterback. They decided to take Pitts, which I think is a great pick, but you're basically swapping out Julio for Pitts now.
That's rough for them.
I mean, again, fuck the Falcons. So I'm glad, but it is going to be sad because Julio's, I think he's, I know Alan Keller likes to point this out so many times, he's fumbled more against the Saints than scored touchdowns against the Saints.
Which is baffling because you can go and with receivers over 100 games in their career, he has the most receiving yards per game in the history of the NFL. Like, I hate the Falcons. The guy's been done some amazing things in his career, except against the Saints, basically. It's weird.
It's going to be sad to see him go, because I actually look forward to going against Julio, because I know he was going to do something dumb.
Well, it's like selling AMC stock at $40. Hey, we're going to I'll take what we've gotten out of Julio Jones so far. Let him leave the NFC South, man. Let him go somewhere. Even though we've been lucky or we've been fortunate whenever we've played him or we've shut him down or whatever it is that's made that happen. But get him out of here. Get him out of the NFC South. That'd be great. You but don't want to deal with him
the
and
other
Pitts.
Receivers to torch us a few times. I mean, and like he wasn't necessarily catching the touchdowns or the yards. He's been the cause of Ridley having some big games.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the teams that is one of the front runners is Tennessee. And of course, we get to play the Titans this year. So, hey, if he gets traded to Tennessee, I would expect another fumble or two. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Road trip game.
Yes. Yeah, so look, I know we had talked about it. We'll definitely have to set a date to be firm, but I'm in for Tennessee. I wanted to go when we played them, what, 2 years ago? We played them like the last game of the season when Michael Thomas broke the record, I think.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go, but it was like, I think it was like the weekend right before Christmas, and it just, I couldn't make it work. But I always like to go to AFC cities because it doesn't happen so often, but especially a place like that I haven't been to, and I really want to go, so I'm glad. This year, I'm glad for that 17th game because this is what we got. So I'm, and it's a perfect time on the schedule, November 14th. Weather should be nice. Might get a little snow, but it's probably early for snow, I guess.
We've never been in Nashville either, but I think that's we're excited about.
There's still a good Airbnb selection right now.
Oh, look, I went on the computer the other day and just did a quick little glance at some Airbnbs and just to kind of see what's out there. So. Definitely a lot cheaper than the hotels, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, and you can cater to like 6-7 people, whatever it's going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like 3 bedrooms with bunk beds in every room. It'd be, you know, 1 or 2 bathrooms would be good.
And I'm planning to drive from here to Tennessee. It's like a 7-hour drive, 8-hour
drive. Oh, is it not farther than that from New Orleans?
That's all it is. So
that's not bad.
So we were thinking, you know, I'll take off Friday, take off Monday. I might even drive like halfway to like Birmingham and then get there, you know, Friday by lunchtime to have a little more time. So
I don't know if you can. Can you wash off Alabama in one day, though?
I'm gonna have to go through like 8 car washes on the way up there.
It's 10 hours for me, so still not terrible, but I'm flying.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. Because especially like with your wife going, like yeah, like Renee will be happy to go with us. So maybe that'll get Jeff to go too if Andrea comes with him, kind of get him to tag along. And then we can look for a date for guns.
We've got guns. Yeah, I've been online.
Oh,
y'all are looking for Airbnbs. I'm looking for dates.
Yeah. How are they?
I'm searching.
Guns girl. I like that. The guns girl contest.
But they're just like they are in Nashville everywhere.
Dude, but what if think if there's like this girl who's a hardcore gambler listener to your podcast. And it would be a perfect meetup. Just have her do a little gambling contest against you, and if she wins, then she's your date for Nashville. I hope she's not a dude.
Well, you know you're gonna get at least a dozen dudes pretending to be girls. Yeah, that's like you just know that going in, right? And let's talk about the logistics of this. You know, you've got at least a dozen dudes that are not actually women. Biologically or otherwise, right? And so that you gotta kind of have your guard up. I mean, it's a lot of dangerous. Y'all think it's frivolous. There's a lot of danger associated here. But I'm willing to bring whatever strange woman, whatever nice strange lady we find, I'm willing to bring her into the Airbnb with all of your wives and families too. Let's do it. So choose wisely. That's all I gotta say.
Gun, do I hear whoever a little PTSD you in your voice? Is this from experience here?
That's PTSD is exactly what it is. That's what I tell the doctors. You tell them PTSD, you know, you got to tell them that. It's one of the secret words. But, yeah, I mean, just wait. Y'all, let's have as much fun with it as you care to, you know. But just know whoever Gun's date is, just going to be in that Airbnb. I'll make sure. We have the appropriately sized Airbnb for all of us.
I can't wait till we go to like out to dinner for a nice restaurant. We're all dressed up nice, and she walks in with the hooker dress on, and oh, that's gonna be great. But yeah, I'm very excited for Tennessee. In addition to that, I think it's gonna be a really good game. I think the Saints are gonna be a good team. I think Tennessee is gonna be a really good team. Is Vaccaro still with Tennessee, or did they cut him?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay.
He signed an extension, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
Last offseason.
So I will not wear my Vaccaro jersey.
Probably good choice.
God, I still go back. I had the choice. It was between Vaccaro and Cam Jordan, and I went to the black and gold shop, and I wanted a white jersey because I have like a bunch of the black jerseys. I think I only had a Colston white jersey, so I wanted to and. They didn't have Cam there, so instead of being smart and waiting and just ordering it online, I just got the Vaccaro jersey, and then 3 years later, I think he was gone. So,
or 2 years later, I have a limited edition Adrian Peterson jersey.
Ooh.
Adrian Peterson jersey?
I have a limited edition Saints Adrian Peterson jersey.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Sadly, I have three friends that also have one because I had to deal and ordered some.
So that does bring up.
Is it after he left? You got the deal?
Yeah, the jersey was probably 50% off.
Oh yeah, I got it when it was new.
Wow! You are all in on Peterson.
This is going to be a long lasting investment. This jersey is going to bring me many many years of comfort.
He's going to be wearing this jersey when he goes into the Hall of Fame in a few years. this is the one. Nobody else will have it. We got some rookie running back Alvin Kamara. I don't know what his name is.
He's not going to hold a candle.
Adrian Peterson is going to be carrying the ball all the time.
Wow, that's awesome. That's hilarious. But that does bring up an interesting thing. So now with Breeze retired, I've got one active Saints player jersey now, and it's Lattimore. So
yeah, I've got a Kamara.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't know why I never got a Kamara.
I've got a Manning, a Rofe, and a few Breeze jerseys.
Right. I mean, obviously, I've got all the Bush, Fujita, Vilma, Colston.
Wait, Raphael Bush?
Yes, Raphael Bush, number 25.
Okay, we need to make sure. We need to make sure.
Right. It did extend that jersey's life for about a year or two.
There's, and nobody knows it besides Saints fans, but maybe nothing funnier than us signing a guy and Saints fans going, will you please choose number 25?
So right.
We can still use our jersey. And him actually doing it and admitting that's the reason he did it.
So clearly, like, I could wear the Breeze jersey again, but I'm definitely going to give it some time off. I mean, that was the first jersey that I ever bought back in 2006 before we even played a game. And everybody was all hyped on Reggie. And I think I got a Reggie jersey like the next year, but for some reason I just got the Breeze jersey and that went out lasted them all. I mean, it lasted for a good 15, 16 years. So it had quite the run.
But, oh, you've got one from that you've had that long.
Yeah. It was like the throwback mustard yellow. It was stitched, but it was like $100 stitch, but not like the $180 whatever stitch. So like a lot of the stripes on the sleeve are kind of coming off, but the numbers and the name is actually stitched. But the other stuff is kind of coming off. But yeah, I don't know what made me decide to do it, because at that point we were just hoping for Breeze. It's not like we knew what he was going to be. And yeah, it's lasted. I've worn that jersey a lot. It's earned a little bit of time off.
I love my Ricky Williams jersey.
Oh, God. I love him. Like, my dad had a Norman Hand jersey. He had Norman Hand and Kyle Turley.
Hand.
I like my Rofe jersey a lot, but it's gotten big and it's just a big jersey now.
Yeah. I mean, it's the one thing, because the Lattimore jersey Renee got for me, and it's an extra large, and I wear a large, so it is a little big. But I'm hoping, I mean, when we because that's the one I wear to go to Tennessee. I'm hoping it's because I usually like to wear like a sweatshirt underneath or a long sleeve. So hopefully it's cool enough where I can do that. And it fits well, or I could just wear shoulder pads. But I'm not going to be that guy. I am driving, so I can bring some things. So, God, other than that,
Reggie Bush, how does somebody get nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame when all of their college football records and Heisman Trophy were thrown out because of them, like, accepting money? Like, I guess I couldn't put that together. Because he was stripped of his Heisman, and USC was stripped of some wins, but now today he was nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I want to say, like, because I thought, like, when that happened, like, USC basically banned him from campus. But yes. I want to say, but, like, recently they
brought him back. Yeah.
Right.
But he's still.
Right. His records are still.
He doesn't exist in college football. I mean,
you know, if my alma mater banned me from campus, I'd say fuck you when they invited me back. I'd say fuck. I'm not coming on your campus. You can't have my money. You can't have my clout. You can't have my fame. You can't have any of my shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of Reggie. It's kind of Reggie to forgive USC like that.
Well, plus, I'm sure he looks back. Look, he had a good NFL career. You know,
we did.
Yeah.
He wasn't a bust, but his greatest achievements were in college. Like, where he was just like, goodness, yes. Like, holy shit, this dude is unreal.
And is it fair to say that his greatest achievements in the pros were with the Saints?
I mean, he won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl with the Saints. He was a big part of that team.
I mean, he caught 80-plus passes his first 3 years as a Saint.
He's a great decoy, too. And great punt returner.
Oh, God. Just the...
Yeah.
The Chicago game?
The Minnesota game in the Dome that we ended up losing because our defense sucks and Kevin Kayserhorn, but... Like, he ran back two punts that game for touchdowns. Like, just really, you just off the foot, the excitement that he brought to the Saints franchise, just off the field, the energy that he brought initially just to get everybody back on board. And we've kind of sustained that ever since, really, is just kind of insane.
I mean, Reggie, so just looking at it real quick, you know, his rookie year, he had over 1,300 yards from scrimmage. And second year under 1,000, third year under 850, then he got to 725, and then of course 358 is last year. But then he goes to Miami and has 1,382, 1,278, and 1,512 in three straight years.
Well,
but just looking at numbers,
that's like why I asked the question. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 years, it'll be 2 years in a row at Miami. And then his first year at Detroit, 1512 all scrimmage yards. That's a good NFL season.
So that was all scrimmage, but that also ignores his kick and punt return contributions.
Yeah.
Which is really where, I mean, and just having the weapon back there.
He was a better decoy. He was a better decoy for us too.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we never gave him the ball. I mean, you had Pierre Thomas there. You had Deuce. You know, you had Deuce and Pierre to share the load. I mean, that's it. Once he went to Miami and Detroit, like, he was the guy. So, yeah, pure numbers wise, sure, but I mean, having him out there.
A couple of good playoff games on the run to the Super Bowl that really, like, I mean, a couple of good plays. Yeah. And some. I mean, he still sits on some all-time Saints highlights on that Super Bowl run.
And that's kind of, I mean, yeah. I mean, God, the Arizona game was just nuts to run. And then the punt return to cap it off.
And
really, what one play that he had that really, I think it's over, and I think it's incredible, the touchdown against Minnesota where he caught it, twisted it, and then managed to get it inside the pylon. Like, nobody ever talks about that touchdown, like, and how big it was in the grand scheme of things. Granted, you know, we had to challenge to get it, but it was a legit touchdown. Like, that was an incredible play by him.
He's my legit, like, example that I use when people start talking about, like, football players they know in high school or college that were really good. And I'm like, that guy in college made everybody look like they were a junior high person. And then he gets to the NFL and there's linebackers that outweighed him by 50 pounds that ran just as fast as him. And don't get me wrong, Reggie could move, but I mean, he couldn't outrun Brian Urlacher, who outweighed him by 60 pounds. And it's just, he was the all-time example. He made everybody in college look stupid. But in the NFL, like, he was good, but he it wasn't the same.
Yeah, I mean, some of it too, it took him so long to figure out how to actually run as an NFL back. Like, in college, you could get away with, I'll just go to the sideline and outrun everybody. It's not going to work.
I remember how excited I was. I think I remember I was in a bar in Baton Rouge, and like, it came on ESPN that the Texans were going to draft the defensive end, number one overall. Williams. And so we were going to get Reggie, Mario Williams, and we were going to get Reggie at number two. And just being, this is it. Like, we're coming back. Katrina's over. You know, we got fucking Reggie coming back. And then, well, we blossomed into an okay team.
I mean, that year was considering where we were and what we were bringing in and how many people were replaced. And, I mean, like I said, like, I'd have been happy to go 6-10, much less 10-6. And even that last game, we had already clinched the 2 seed. That's crazy. Thinking about, we got the 2 seed at 10-6, and we actually rested guys in week 17, whereas how many times since have we won 13 games and not gotten a bye? Oh, God.
Yeah, and not still. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, look, that was the cost to get the Super Bowl, and I'm good with it, but, man, God, it hurt. Oh, it hurts.
That playoff game against the Bears was just awful and hard to swallow the
well, but look, year before. But look, it was great. Once when Reggie scored that touchdown, I was like, holy shit, holy shit, we're gonna do it. And then weren't ready yet.
Classic Saints.
So, yeah,
you mentioned that I'll still. And not being a fan of either team, the Reggie versus Vince Young USC UT game is one of my favorite. I remember, specifically remember sitting and watching that game and just blown away by the two of them and just how the games went. And those two guys taking over and just going blow for blow against each other. It was a fun, amazing game to watch.
It was awesome, and I remember because at that point. To me, like, as an LSU fan, I hated USC because they had claimed
the split title bullshit.
Right,
yeah. Oh,
right,
still,
right,
right. Right with you.
Right, because like
dumbest
thing
ever.
Right, like I knew a guy that was a USC fan, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, no, this is our title." I'm like, "No, it's not.
It is not.
Like, right, like it's not." AP said, "Yeah, we'll do it," but it's not. Like, it's and the fact that we could never play on the field was frustrating. But I hate it. So I wanted USC to lose so bad.
Everything. Me too.
Yeah,
but the silver lining being that Reggie was on that team, so they technically lost the title. due to his transgressions, right? Well, so they lose that title too. And it's a forfeit games.
Yeah, well, and then too, you know, at that point, and everything, you're like, okay, well, Reggie will go number one in the draft, but the Saints are going to have the second pick, so maybe we get Vince Young. Maybe Vince Young is our guy. So like, well, okay, he's going to do this, and then we're going to get this guy. It's like okay. Or Matt Leinart. I mean, God, think about if we don't sign Breeze and you go with either Leinart or Young. Now maybe Peyton can make him work.
There's a different career there, I think, for Vince Young if that's where he goes. I think there's.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go play for Jeff Fisher.
I mean, Jesus. Hey, Gunn, to your point about your alma mater, what do you think about – you think Beckham's going to be mad at LSU for suspending him for 2 years for handing out money at the National Championship? I mean, he didn't get suspended for life, but he's thrown out for 2 years.
I feel like I got to take the side of the university here and be like, good. Yeah. He was handing out $100 bills on national
television.
There's only 90 million people watching that game. You know, it's like – in halftime of the Super Bowl. Yeah, as many eyeballs as possible. I'm going to run around on camera handing out $100 bills to amateur athletes. Fuck him. You know, like he could, I hope he stays going more than 2 years. I hope that's one where they're like, no, you know what? You don't have to come back.
Just couldn't believe it. And watch that happen live. I'm like, no.
I thought I saw it happening. And I was like, that's a big deal. You can't do that. I'm like, I've just been watching
the end of our football program.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was like drunk watching. I go, I know that's not okay right now, immediately as it's happening.
Oh, yeah. My drunk reaction is we're never going to have a football team again. Like, this is
right.
What the hell? Like, this is all over.
Yeah. I was worried it was going to be a bigger story than the game.
Odell being Odell.
Well, we won't be signing him because we can't afford him either. or Tommy Stevens.
Right.
But can we really afford not to sign Tommy Stevens? That's the question.
I mean,
can we afford not to?
We were so enamored, we traded a draft pick to move up to get him.
Yeah, and then he came into camp. They're like, yeah, and then sent him back and cut him and let him go back.
Cutting knowing he was not going to make it to our practice squad. Carolina right, kept and him go for back 2 years to just team. To be an asshole back to us too, which is funny.
So was that the beginning of the end?
He's like a lady getting passed around back and forth from Nashville, you know, Carolina to the Saints.
Oh, so if Tommy Stevens wants to be your date for Tennessee,
can we afford Tommy Stevens?
Tammy Stevens?
Can we afford Tommy Stevens?
Depends what kind of Tennessee? Airbnb deal we can get. I don't think I have. I mean, is there any other football? There's really no other football stuff going on. Nothing's really happening. Aaron Rodgers isn't being traded. I mean, I Julio will probably be traded, but I don't see Aaron Rodgers going anywhere. I think the Packers are just going to call his bluff, and he's not going to sit out. I know he's got a lot of money, but it's still, man, $35 million.
He's not going anywhere. He's going to play up there.
So are they still underdogs against us in week one?
Yep. Which is crazy.
That is insane to me. Like they should be at least a 3-point favorite.
It's a good buy right now. I would imagine it's going to swing as the season gets closer. But it's very, very good with the Saints getting, the Packers getting 2 points. Yeah, yeah. That's I'd do it now.
I got 2.5 right now.
Beautiful. That's great.
I feel like I should bet a mortgage payment on that. That's a good, you know?
Yeah, I like that. What I know, you can always kind of sense a loss, you know, and betting on those losses. It's a good little insurance, a little pillow to rest your head on that night when fucking Saints lose.
And look, like I'm excited about Jameis. I think this offense is really going to be able to open up a little bit that we haven't the last year or two. We have concerns at receiver a little bit, but then also if like I think Lattimore is suspended for week one, then how does Aaron Rodgers not throw for 5 touchdowns?
And I think Jameis is going to be outstanding, but I wouldn't be shocked to see the early Jameis be a little not as good as the fine-tuned end of the season Jameis.
I do wonder, because we only have 3 preseason games this year, correct?
I think so, yeah.
So how... And like
two.
Oh, all we have is
Ravens and Jaguars.
Wait, no, I thought we had a third. I thought they dropped because they went to 17 games, so they cut a preseason game. I really thought we had three.
It was just 2 preseason games. Could be wrong, but I think it's just Ravens and Jaguars.
But I thought. Usually with Breeze,
Gunn, you got four screens. Look it up for us.
Well, I was going to say this is why we don't. This is why we don't report news. We can't report the news of how many games are in the preseason.
So we do actually have three preseason games. We got Ravens, Jaguars, Cardinals.
I guess I don't know about the Cardinals one.
See, we can report the news. We reported that they have three preseason games.
Yeah, because nobody knew that until just now.
Right.
But in the past with Breeze, he didn't need a lot of reps. But I wonder, and we tend to sit a lot of guys in preseason. I wonder with Jameis if he gets a lot more work to kind of get him up to speed, especially since we do tend to start slow. And now you're bringing in a new quarterback. And who knows with limited OTAs and limited training camp. I'd like to see Jameis play at least a half and probably all three games.
Yeah, he's going to need to get some snaps for sure. Now, when you said we brought a new quarterback, are you meaning Jameis or Ian Book? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
This is going to be Book. I'm excited to see Book play a lot of the third preseason game.
Ian Book. That was a wasted draft pick, huh? You guys got upset about some other draft picks. That's the one that burned me. That was a waste.
Did you get upset about any of the draft picks? Is that a true statement by Gunn?
I would say from round three on, maybe excluding round four, I was okay.
You weren't pissed in round one?
You
were just bewildered in round one.
In terms of
not asking where your memory went out. I'm asking which picks.
You still haven't listened to that show again, have you?
Oh, hell no.
I really want you to listen to it. I want you to pretty upset around show.
Round. Yeah, you were around.
Look, it's kind of like me. Like, I've never rewatched the Jabari Greer injury. Never. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, you know, I'm good. I said what I said, and I don't need to hear back what I said because I know.
I think that now knowing afterwards, still watching the Breeze injury is terrible. Like, and he's got the shoulder pads on to where you can't see it, but you know his arm is stuck in that position.
Yeah.
So you know that the sock is just blown there into his armpit, and and he has that calm look on his face. I'm like, no, I'm laying on the ground screaming.
Right. Yeah. Like, he's like, he's just walking off. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
God, all-timer, man. It's going to be interesting without him. I mean, I know he wasn't the same in the last year or two, but man, it's going to be so weird without him.
It is. One, I'm excited about something just going on and something different. I mean, I think there's so much that the Peyton offense hasn't been able to do the last few years that Peyton would like to do, and just the possibility that someone can throw the ball 50 yards downfield to Deontay Harris is interesting.
That's why I'm so excited about Jameis. Jameis has got a big arm.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, tell you what, even watching last year, the couple of preseason things and that they showed with Jameis, like, the dude's got the prototypical quarterback arm that, like, he'll try to make throws he can't make, but he'll make throws that nobody else can make. Like, you scheme a way to get those guys open.
I mean, and again, he was the number one overall pick for a reason, you know?
For sure.
And you're getting him at still age 26, 27. 26 like
he's, years old, so crazy.
Right?
Seems like he would be 32 by now.
Right, and to put him with Peyton, like, you could go on another 10-year run with a damn good quarterback that just doesn't – when you lose a Hall of Famer, that's, that kind of stuff just doesn't happen. And I know people are hesitant, and I get it. Look, he's had ups and downs, but, you know, throw out the 30-pick season, you know.
You can't lean on that. Like, that's – he did it once. Like, it was historically a bad season, but, I mean, even if you don't worry about the excuses that you can make for that with Arians and all that kind of stuff, like, he had one bad season like that. He's made some plays outside of that.
There's also one thing, too, that I think is interesting. Like, as, you know, Saints fans, we've never had a guy – we never had a guy as good as Breeze ever. Not even close to that good. So now that he's gone, you know, if you're looking at Jameis Winston pre-Breeze, we're so excited. A lot more people are so excited to turn him back. Now you've had this guy for 15 years. you've gotten spoiled for so long, and this is the one guy like you've never these fans have never had a player like this. So now to move on, there's no history on what kind of reaction they're going to have, and I just think it's, you know, although like I think Winston plays well, a lot of people are going to quickly turn the corner because that's what fans do.
Yeah. Y'all have, I mean, I've got a couple of friends, and one specific that says it all the time, but if you had asked him 2 years ago, like his three least favorite people in the history of football are Steve Smith, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston. And it's really hard for him now to, I mean, that's somebody that, because it was a rival, because it was the Bucs, mm-hmm. and because he was, you know, a young, brash guy, like, it's hard for him to stop going, like, that's one of the three most hated people in the sport to me just a couple of years ago. It's tough.
Yeah, that is one thing. Like, if he comes over from Denver, does any, you know, do people care as much?
Yeah, I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. We had people asking us to get Sam Darnold this offseason. Sam Darnold is not as good as Jameis Winston, even close.
I'm excited that that's the Panthers. Yeah, they made you the guy. Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I would 100% much rather Jameis Winston than Sam fucking Darnold.
That duo out there in Carolina with the coach and the GM, like, you know, everybody, or the coach and the LSU cat as the offensive Brady, court rule and Brady yeah, and rule. Dude, yeah. they got to put something up this year. They got to put up or shut it. Like, they've had a lot of hype and a lot of grace because of their name and success in college and whatnot. But I thought they did not do as good of a job with Teddy B as we did with Teddy B. In their body of work versus our body of work with Teddy B. And then they go out and they go, oh, we got to get Sam Darnold. Well, that's a hell of a horse to tie your cart to, Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? Like, I'm confident that they're going to be garbage again.
It's crazy because they could have taken Fields.
Yeah. And there was a player that got released, I think, by them, and he came out and went to like Yahoo or ESPN or somebody. And he's
Teddy.
Like,
Teddy.
It was Teddy himself. He's Teddy. Like, they don't practice like pros. They don't practice like a professional football team. And that's a guy who's been on a few different professional football teams. A guy who's been in the league for a couple of years, been with two different teams, you know. And he's like, they don't practice right.
I think it's strange to take somebody like to judge anybody on the Panthers, including Teddy Bridgewater, on a season where, you know, Christian McCaffrey, they planned on him touching the ball 400 times last year. Yeah. He misses most of the season. Like, I just don't see how you can expect very many coaches or players in the league to, like, completely – I mean, that guy was not only the centerpiece of their offense, he was the offense.
Right.
But the Saints do it when Breeze goes down. When the Breeze goes down, the Saints shift gears. And they craft an offense that's more amenable to whoever's coming in to play quarterback. That coaching staff did not – and they had a good running back in Carolina. McCaffrey? No.
Look, I had McCaffrey in fantasy, and luckily I drafted his backup. His backup put up some decent stats for a few weeks. Now, he wasn't McCaffrey, but it wasn't so big of a drop off where, like, oh, God, we're a 3-win team right now.
This is, and I mean, I think I agree with you, Gunn, but I think it's where we've been spoiled that maybe there's things that Peyton does that drives us crazy on, you know, short third downs and different things like that. But I mean, that's his greatness of where there aren't many coaches that I think could do, or, you know, what he did with missing Breeze going 8-1 over.
Sean Payton is clearly a top five NFL coach, hands down, you know, no doubt. And look, that kind of shit matters a lot.
The only thing you can say about Payton that makes you want to bang your head into a wall a little bit is sometimes he gets too cute.
Too cute.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he gets too stylistic, and I don't like he's trying to play, you know, soccer like the Spanish national team. Oh, we're gonna do that. We're gonna play the beautiful game. No, dude, just you know what to do. You've got the talent.
Right. Just win. Just win.
Everybody wants the assist, and nobody wants the goal. I got to not last season, but the season before, the same weekend that he got engaged, I was in New Orleans on my honeymoon, and he had just signed his extension and all too. That had all become official a couple weeks earlier, and kind of I got to ask him about that, and he said like he was actually really excited to coach a super young team and see what he could do with that all over again. Like, he, I mean, when we asked him about it, he kind of like lit up. It was, I mean, you know, we know he loves Breeze and we know they're close and all, but he was actually wasn't going to force Breeze out, but was looking forward to what he could do with whoever that was on the team. And you know, so it's, I mean, we get to see now this year.
Yeah. I mean, look, the, you know, the initial roster that's all turned over now that Breeze and Morstead are gone, like that's it. And you get a new quarterback in. I mean, clearly he was enamored with Taysom. You know, he wanted to make Taysom work. Taysom just, he's not a quarterback. He's a great jack of all trades. He's a great weapon. He's not a quarterback. And I think that was part of the reason of starting him those four games. He got a look and he's like, okay, he's good. He's not a quarterback. But he's
move him to tight end.
Yeah, but hey, now you're encroaching on Juwan Johnson territory. Come on, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Juwan Johnson's already got that role. Yeah. I
mean, Juwan Johnson could be the Air Jordan of tight ends.
Wait, there may not be that? A spot for Taysom.
That big salary he's got. I mean, they paid him like $450 million
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, the $140 million salary that all the legits are getting pissed at. So stupid.
And then Russell Wilson with the same contract.
Right? But yeah, look, and there is so much intrigue coming into this season. I'm very excited to kind of see what happens. Even if we fail, even if we go, I want to say 9-7, but that's not it anymore. That's another weird thing too. Getting used to the seven, like I guess we got to 10-7. Is that, yeah? Like even
yeah.
If we
go
9-8 sounds a whole lot like 500.
I don't like 9-8. I don't like 9-8 at all.
Right?
Just, I don't like any of them. None of those numbers work for me in my head.
It's weird.
It gives me anxiety. Yeah, it fucks with me.
It's so weird. You're so used to certain numbers, and now it's just nope.
Well, wait till we get to the end of the season, and we're talking about like who's making a run at 5,000 yards and all that kinds of. That's who's making a run at 2,000 yards receiving for the first time ever. Who's making
holy shit? Yeah.
1,000-yard running backs that are not good running backs. We're getting. I mean, what's 60 yards a game gets you 1,000 yards rushing?
Like, I mean, that's what's like since I was a kid. You know, like when you're a kid, you have sports cards. You look on the back of the sports cards and have statistics, and then that's how we grow into loving sports and sports statistics. And it's like when you do something where you change the length of the regular season in such a drastic way, it fucks with it basically. Resets the record books for seasons,
for sure.
You know, and that's just, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I understand it's a money thing, but it fucks with the integrity of the history of the game, statistically speaking.
Well, and we're going to be having this conversation 10 years from now, 15 years from now about people's Hall of Fame resumes that look like you compare them to other people and they look like Hall of Fame resumes, but then you go and divide it up on a per game basis. And I mean, there may be borderline.
Right.
And that kind of stuff will add up for over a 10 and 15 year career. You take an Adesanya or Vittori in the fight next weekend or in 2 weeks.
Oh, Adesanya all the way.
Yeah.
Fucking style bender, dude. That one's easy. I think you're going to have to put, I mean, if he's minus 250 in, I'm in on him, but I don't even, can you get him at minus 250? I haven't even looked.
They actually, on ESPN.com, they've got him at minus 260. So yeah, you could find him at minus 250 for sure.
I'll do that.
Did you see that Leon Edwards is minus 490 with Nate Diaz, who's plus 370?
That's a fun bet on Nate Diaz. Man, that's a fun bet. That's a great night for rooting for Nate Diaz.
You throw that in with anything else that you pair that up.
And then
with
you get
anything.
To root for Nate. I'm be rooting for Nate Diaz anyway. If I can get 3.5 times my money on it, or yeah, well, that's great. I'm all about it.
Well, I just went to the bathroom, but that was a quick turn from the crazy NFL. NFL records being just shattered and to this, but yeah, I mean, look, the 5,000-yard
UFC fights now.
You know, the 5,000-yard passing seasons that Breeze put up. That's gonna be wiped away.
Yep.
And he, I mean, look, Breeze is gonna be passed by Brady career wise, but all these guys are going to have an extra game every year. Let's say a guy's quarterback for 15 years, that's 15 extra games. I'm sure you guys just
You're
said
repeating
it, right?
exactly what I just
said. Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. At least we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. I just said that in 10 or 15 years, when we're doing Hall of Fame careers, it's going to look back over 15 years, an extra game is going to it's an extra season.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Good point, Jason. I agree.
Yes. Yes.
I think you nailed it with that one.
Sure did. We've actually covered a lot more sports ground than I thought we would. And even some more Saints chatter, which is good. Scott's like, yeah, we got nothing to report on. I'm like, dude, we don't report on shit. Let's just talk about shit. Stuff will come up.
We didn't even
a beautiful
even,
thing about
we're gonna have
talking
to do another
Saints.
Show tomorrow about Loki.
Right. I mean, think about it. All this started from Juwan Johnson moving to tight end.
Yeah.
Dude, Loki, yeah. I'm excited for Loki.
Clear room for Julio Jones and push Taysom Hill out.
What if we trade Taysom straight up for Julio? The salaries match, right?
Done.
Right. Atlanta wants to be us so much. Yeah, take Taysom.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that I don't think that would be hard for Saints fans because we don't really hate Julio because he's never done anything to us.
Right?
I mean.
I mean, we hate him because of the jersey he wears.
Yeah,
but other
course.
Than that. So it is going to – I mean, God, Matt Ryan – I mean – I still can't believe they didn't.
What's he got? One season left there? Like that whole team's changing too.
I think because of his contract, I think he's got at least one. I think maybe two. Like he's kind of stuck without taking like a massive cap hit.
Yep.
Unless the Falcons just decide they want to just all right, yeah, let's just go up straight up tank.
When they have a top 10 draft pick again next year, it's
right.
gonna be.
So who finishes last in the division? Them or Carolina?
Carolina.
It seems like
I think Carolina. I think Carolina.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna be a real dogfight, though.
It might go down to the wire.
Wow,
it's good for 5-12.
I hope they play in week 17. No. Yeah, I think we play Atlanta week 18. God, it's another thing.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, week 18. We play Carolina, Atlanta, week 17, week 18. At least they're noon games. I like noon games. Both games at home. Ooh, I like that. January 2nd, January 9th.
I think I was surprised the first few seasons when McCaffrey wasn't injured, but I've always said that I thought when he started getting injured, it was going to probably haunt him. He's a tough dude, but he's a little guy. Like there's only
right. He's not an alien like Kamara.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the Darren Sproles that could just take that. Those little guys cannot take those hits. It just adds up. It's just.
Especially when Carolina they made him their workhorse, like you can't do that. You need another guy to take the pounding. And maybe that's we talk about Reggie. You know his stats weren't all the but we had the other guy to kind of extend their career a little bit and to not wear him out. And I think that's it's smart. I mean, unless you have a guy like Derrick Henry who's just like, yeah, fuck you, I'm just gonna run over everybody. But
my goodness.
Well, not many Derrick Henry.
He's built quite a bit different. Than-
yeah, he's rare.
A little
he's
bit.
Awesome.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
He's a guy that, like, right now, if he's on, I like to watch him because he's one that you're going to remember when you're old and in the nursing home. You know, I feel that way about Derrick Henry, and I feel that way about watching Charles Barkley do commentary on the NBA.
I love Barkley.
I'm going to be really upset when Barkley's not doing that anymore.
I love it.
And Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Derrick Henry is to the NFL what like Leonard Fournette was to Auburn.
Putting dudes in fucking coffins.
Yeah, I mean, what he does, like the way he'll burst in and run somebody over and then run away from a cornerback or like is just crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. So I think with that we will wrap up. We had a really good conversation tonight, boys. This was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
See, you know, it doesn't take a bunch of Saints news to spur some fun conversation. So in the meantime, we've got several shows on the network. We've got Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, putting out each week. I know last week was a good. I listened to it in terms of Louisiana sports betting. That's good, since that's coming. And we do need to learn about it. We've got Scott doing the Tigers Den. He says he's got a big guest tomorrow. There's a lot of big news with Paul Maneri.
Is it Billy Gunn? Down.
No, it's not me.
Oh, okay.
I'm in suspense too. I'm excited. I'm not the guest, so I share the same excitement as everybody else at who the guest is.
I might actually listen.
Wait, y'all are. What's the name of the show again?
Is it the Lions Den?
Dude, it's like the dad joke where I pretend to get the name of the fucking thing wrong so many times that then I start actually questioning the real name. It's the Tiger's Den.
Tiger's Den.
I almost started to call it the Tiger's Lair.
Tiger's Lair. Tiger's Lair. But
it's
yeah,
the
no.
Tiger's Den.
But this is big. LSU made the tournament. They get to travel all the way out to fucking Oregon, which is interesting. But you know, hey, look, the interesting thing is, and I don't want to step on too much of Scott's toes, but the three teams that are in that regional, LSU has never played before.
LSU's lambs to the slaughter in that series.
Yes, it's
probably. But hey, look, Maneri's last ride. You never know, man. Never know.
I don't even follow him, but from the reactions of the people that do, Maneri's last ride.
Scott is
I listen to the Tigers Den. Okay, the Maneri's last ride is going to be funny.
Scott has hated Maneri for a while.
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah,
but so, we don't believe Maneri is the surprise guest, right?
It could be.
Ooh.
Well, no, because you can't get credentialed. Scott's not allowed to. Scott's not allowed to interview official LSU people.
No, he can't.
Is he allowed to report news on the show?
Yes, I think so. He's not allowed. He's not allowed to. Neither are you, Wesley. You can't have a Tiger Girl come on your fucking BS and beer podcast with bourbon and shit.
Bourbon and beer.
Scott was going to get a gymnast. Dude, I was excited. I was really excited.
Me too, right?
Scott was going to get a gymnast. I was like, this is the greatest. Can I be on the show? And then, like, you know, they have rules. They have fucking shitty rules, and they keep people like us from fucking interviewing gymnasts on our podcast.
Do they have rules against gymnasts going to games in Tennessee?
That's encouraged.
Oh,
it's encouraged. Yes.
So that's one way we could do a live show from Tennessee.
Yes. Some LSU gymnasts
with your LSU gymnast date.
We're gonna have to get an Airbnb that's really conducive to podcasting with gymnasts.
I assume it's a given that everybody's going to get up to a 15 and do it. We're going to do a show in Nashville.
I'll be a California 420, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, we did when we drove. I don't remember if it was when we drove to Kansas City or back from Kansas City. Me, Jeff, and Damon recorded a show in the car.
Is it the game the Saints lost a couple seasons ago?
Yeah, that was
I was at that game. I was 50-yard line front row behind the Saints bench.
Holy shit. So we were like midfield, but we were in the upper level. But we were like row like 4 or 5. That was when our guy with the heart problem suplexed the guy.
Yes, yes.
The penalty. Yeah. Yeah. We should have won that game. But man, Kansas City was all. I love Kansas City. That was so fun.
It was cool there.
But yeah, we will definitely have a recording if we want to get 2 or 3 fans to show up for a live recording. We could do that too. Who knows?
That'll be great. That'd
be fun. But in the meantime, yeah, check out all the shows on the feed. Check out all of us on Twitter. And we'll see if we get any Saints news over the next month. We got to sign our draft pick soon. So it's still the dead off season, but we're getting a little closer to actual regular news on a regular basis. So, I don't have Jeff's normal tagline queued up, but thanks for joining the show. And any final thoughts from anybody, or you got to say bye-bye donkeys or anything like that?
All good. Who that?
The bye-bye donkeys. You can find us at Original OG Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
There you go.
Ah, that's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't do both parts.
No, I definitely could not have learned.
I had to do the other part so you could do the other part.
superior over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, they tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast eyes burn into rhythms. Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walked. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.